Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, boy!
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. I just saw a snippet of that there movie not too long ago on one of those channels that normally it appears they're playing everything satanic and dark. Every movie about a witch or a demon or the devil himself. What's with the fascination in our country with demonic things? Oh, yeah, I know. The overwhelming majority of Americans aren't actually Christians. You say, hey, that's an accusation. I think I can support that accusation with a statistic that shockingly aligns with a statistic I offered give or take 20 years ago when we were producing this here radio program in the cinder block bunker in the middle of a field. I would receive articles, news reports, polls, surveys. So a lot of stuff from Lifeway is what I'm saying. And they would continue to share how Americans are thinking and believing and what their theology is. And I continue to conclude, yikes. If these statistics are accurate at all, it is less than 10%. Single digits in this country are genuine believers. You say, what sort of statistics would suggest that? Statistics on giving, statistics on church activities, whether they were participating in the life of the church or not, giving, any sort of theological issue where they were not within orthodoxy, and their works were not in alignment with Christianity. An increasing number of pro-choice Christians, there's an oxymoron for you. I concluded way back then, probably about 6%. Now I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers another unfortunate support of my statistic on American Christians. More than 60% of born-again Christians, please note, these are professing born-again Christians between the ages of 18 and 39, believe Buddha, Muhammad, and Jesus are all valid paths to salvation. Well, that's a problem, wouldn't you say? Hold on, the stats just keep coming. Over 30% say they either believe Jesus sinned, just like other people on earth, or they just aren't sure. Well, what they aren't is educated on proper Christology, on correct soteriology, an understanding of our need for a God-man, Jesus Christ. Please remember this supports the veracity of your Bible. When we look at reality, does it comport with what the Bible says and vice versa? And so we look at the universe and we conclude, okay, there has to be a designer because it's all designed. There has to be somebody all powerful because, wow, there's a lot of power out there. There has to be somebody or something that's omnipresent and omniscient and spectacularly creative and communicative and artistic. Does the Bible say that about God? Yeah, as a matter of fact, it does, which tells me the very God we need is the one the Bible gives us, and that includes our need for a God-man. This should be fundamental 101 for kids in youth group, and I'm talking about elementary school. They can get this. We need not only somebody to pay our judicial debt, we need somebody to be our representative. In other words, we need God and we need man to save us, mingled in one without any mingling going on, because that would be the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. 100% God, 100% man, no mixing, no mingling, no jingle bell beats. Jesus Christ, as described in the Bible, is the one that we need. And that makes sense. And that's logical. We need that. Oh, the Bible says that's what we have in the person of Jesus Christ. That is one more reason to believe the Bible. But all too often these days, too much whipped cream, too many pizza parties going on at youth group, and not enough Bible teaching, which is why 30% believe that Jesus sinned between the ages of 18 and 39. They think Buddha and Muhammad are valid paths. Uh-oh. There's a striking decline, says this article from the Christian Post and the survey, a striking decline in evangelical religious beliefs and practices over the last 10 years, as the number of self-proclaimed believers to hold these beliefs has increased by nearly 25%. Let's just muse for a moment, shall we? What's been going on in evangelical churches for the last 10, 20, 30 years? How's about shenanigans and hoodwinkery? That's right, hoodwinkery. Which, wasn't he a talk show host? Or when he did it, was a game show host. Hoodwinkery, if I'm not mistaken. We have not been earnest in catechizing our kids, and the statistics are revealing that to be true. Might I encourage you again, dear youth pastor? Stop with the silliness and the fun and the games and the entertainment. They can get it elsewhere. And if a kid is not interested in learning the things of the Lord, we shouldn't therefore say, well, then create something that's going to make them stick around. Nope. They don't want to stick around. They don't want to stick around. Now, I know that that could cause your youth group to shrink, or it could cause the pulpit to have to start proclaiming to parents, make your kids come to youth group. And when they're there, teach them something. We're not doing them favors. And this has been the trend. As we see this decline, do we not have enough empirical evidence to prove once and for all we must get back to catechizing kids? We've been living under such a self-delusion of inflated numbers. The percentage of born-again Christians with a biblical worldview of either type has been cut in half over the last decade. How's the evangelical church doing as a whole these days? Well, I think the proof is in the statistical pudding. But here it comes. There's an even greater drop-off among the general population. The biblical worldview, there is a drop from 13% to 6%. There it is. 6%, again, that have a bit. If you're a Christian, you have a biblical worldview. Now, granted, it doesn't have to be sophisticated in the beginning, but that's the desire. And the people in this poll reveal they're not all that interested in the statistic or the learning of a biblical worldview. This would be an appropriate time for me to plug Wretched Worldview, available at wretched.org, but I'm not going to do that. Because I believe that that kind of self-promotion has no place on a Christian talk show. So I will not encourage you to avail yourself of 22 lessons on all kinds of worldview issues that demand we work through them biblically. You can find it at wretched.org. Jimmy?
Yes.
Aren't you glad to be a part of a program that doesn't self-promote?
That's awfully big of you, Todd.
You got that right.
You be the
This
judge.
Is where we started.
Answers. I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Jimmy, you are going to represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here wretched radio program. Something very fascinating happened over the last several days in the U.S. of A and Afghanistan. Yep. Two big events colliding, and we need some sort of rendering. Which do we prefer? I think that's the name of this episode. Which do we prefer?
Okay.
So here is story number one in Afghanistan. As you know, Americans are being left behind, and I don't mean in a Tim LaHaye kind of way. They are not being evacuated from a country that is being overrun by good practicing Muslims known as the Taliban, and they are killing people and beating people. In fact, this was rather fascinating to me. It turns out minutes after our current president said the U.S. wasn't aware Americans were being harassed or assaulted by the Taliban at checkpoints in Afghanistan, the defense secretary, And a spokes... Oh, it says man. Oh, a spokes they for the Department of Defense and U.S. citizens said the U.S. citizens trying to leave the country had been beaten by militants. That's what's going on right now in Afghanistan. The second major event that took place, the past president was doing a rally, I believe, in Alabama, Arkansas. Lots of people, I understand. 35,000 folks showed up for the former president, who basically used potty word to describe being woke and what it does to our nation. I won't repeat the sentence because you'll be able to fill in the blank. And even though I leave out the word, you're going to know what the word is. So let's just say he used a scubalus to describe the woke ideology that is ripping through our country. So, Jimmy, here's our conundrum.
All right.
Which do we prefer? A president who says things like that, or a president who leaves Americans and Christians fending for their own lives in Afghanistan? Next on Wretched Radio. So, you're one of them there Christians that wants a lot of bang for your giving buck. I concur completely, and that is why I would like to commend to you the Masters Academy International. If you would like to see your giving go a long way, the Masters Academy is the vehicle that will make sure your dollar goes very, very far. They train indigenous pastors in 16 countries around the globe to rightly pastor and to rightly preach the Word of God for years. For decades, consider the fruit that will be born from training a pastor to rightly divide the word of truth. If you would like to get a lot of bang for your giving buck, please learn more about the Masters Academy International. Pick a country that's near and dear to your heart and give with confidence. Wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for being here today on Wretched Radio. Are you getting the monthly Wretched newsletter? If you got to stop and think about it, then you're probably not, because if you were, you'd remember. The monthly Wretched newsletter comes to your email every month. Imagine that. And it covers tough theological issues and keeps you up to date on all things new at Wretched. Just go to wretched.org/newsletter to get signed up. That's wretched.org/newsletter. Not only are you going to get updates on all the things happening in Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues. Plus, and this is probably the best part, you become eligible to win free stuff from Wretched just by being signed up for their monthly Wretched newsletter. It's free. We're not going to check your credit or anything invasive like that. All you have to do is just go to wretched.org and scroll all the way down to the bottom and click newsletter to get yourself signed up. Or you can do it the easy way by going to wretched.org/newsletter. That's my recommendation. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 405 AD. After 23 years of work, translating from Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, Jerome completes the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible that becomes a standard for the next 1,000 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whoa, change in plans. This is Wretched Radio. You may probably don't, but you may recall we were playing an exciting round of You Be the Judge, subtitled, Which One Do You Prefer? Jimmy, I put before you a this or that. Would you prefer a president who says crude things and tweets things that are mean, or a president who wants more babies to be aborted and who doesn't seem to have a plan for rescuing American citizens as we evacuate Afghanistan? But, Jimmy, I think things are going to turn around. This just in from BB News.
Okay.
See, I'm trying not to give it away, because if I said Babylon B, everybody would know. So yes. This is in from BB News. It turns Joel Osteen flew his jet to the Kabul airport to tell Afghanis to name and claim victory over their lives. So I don't know that there's going to be much of a problem anymore. They're going to be.
That took care of it all.
Just fine. Sometimes they sting. Joel Osteen, who personally volunteered to fly in a luxury charter jet out to Kabul, while other pilots intended to pick up refugees to help them escape the violence of the Taliban. No, he flew by his jet with a banner waving behind that read, Name and Claim Victory Today. Also had a PA system on that particular plane. Can you do that? I don't know that you can put something like that on the... Nevertheless, stop living in defeat. Live victoriously, shouted the prosperity preacher through the loudspeaker. God doesn't want failure for you. He wants victory. He desires success. Only through your faith can you unlock the power of God for your life and activate his plan for you to be healthy, wealthy, and successful. This is a new day. Repeat after me. This is my time. Don't sit around in defeat. Jimmy.
Nailed it.
I'm done with this story, but my voice seems to be locked right here. So don't worry. You don't need to decide which one is worser.
Okay. Okay, good.
The Taliban is going door to door searching for Christians, inspecting phones for Bible apps. So sort of like Apple. In a way, I didn't ever think that the Taliban would be so similar to Apple. The Taliban has a list of known Christians they are targeting to pursue and kill. The U.S. embassy is defunct, and there is no longer a safe place for believers to take refuge. This is from a man who is on the ground known as Pastor X, because if his identity were revealed, all borders to neighboring countries are closed and all flights to and from have been halted, with the exception of private planes. You see, that's why Joel could have picked up people, but so much better that he stayed consistent with his message. People are, isn't that okay, we've heard this before. Try to go to a foreign country and preach that message. Okay, let's be specific. Let's just say you're able to find a Christian family who's doing their best to not be noticed in their community so they don't get killed by the Taliban. Go in there. Tell them that, you quit moping. You turn that frown upside down. You just speak it and you're going to get it. Pretty tough sell, isn't it? If you can't preach it in a home of a Christian underneath the Taliban, maybe you need to rethink your theology. And by the way, there have been some people, not to go looking for trouble or anything, but there have been some people who are saying things like, hey, to the people who believe that Romans 13 means we submit to our government with the exception of Acts 4 and 5 when they command you to sin, I would also add to it, based on the life of Paul, if they are trying to, murder you or hurt you, you can defend yourself and you do not have to obey a command that you believe causes you to sin. And some people have memed things like, well, just tell Romans 13 to the Christians in Afghanistan right now. Okay, that's just not a fair representation of this particular view.
No, absolutely not. And I saw those last week and kind of got up in arms myself.
You don't mean up in arms like firearms?
No. Just
which to some might have been okay.
Yeah.
just not a fair representation of what this particular position holds. Now, I know we shouldn't be getting our theology from memes, but they definitely have an impact, don't they? We obey the government unless there is some sinning that is involved or your life is being threatened. You can protect yourself. I was just reading R.C. Sproul. He said the same thing. You can defend yourself if the government is trying to hurt you and your family. They are behaving unjustly, and self-defense is as biblical a principle as any. By the way, for whatever this is worth, tossing this in for free. I happen to hold in my hand the Section 4 of the Westminster Confession. This goes back, 300 years? It is the duty of people to pray for magistrates, to honor their persons, to pay their tribute or other dues, to obey their lawful commands, and to be subject to their authority for conscience' sake. Infidelity or difference in religion doth not make void the magistrates' just and legal authority, nor free the people from their due obedience to them, from which ecclesiastical persons are not exempted, which sounds an awful lot like the 1689 London Baptist Confession, specifically chapter 24. Civil magistrates being set up by God for the ends aforesaid, subjection in all lawful things commanded by them ought to be yielded by us in the Lord, not only for wrath, but for conscience sake, and we ought to make supplications and prayers for kings and all that are in authority, that under them we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Romans 13, 5 through 7, 1 Peter 2, 17, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. That was free. Back to Afghanistan, where it is brutal right now for our brothers and sisters. The details of this got really frightening. The people must mark their house with an X if they have a girl over 12 years old so the Taliban can take them. What sort of wickedness is this? Oh, yeah. The religion of peace wickedness is what this is. If they find a young girl and the house was not marked, they will execute the entire family. Okay, to that family, I would say flee, protect your children. If a married woman 25 years old or older has been found, the Taliban promptly kill her husband, do whatever they want to her, and then sell her as a sex slave. Lovely. Absolutely lovely. Perhaps we've been lulled into thinking, well, the religion of peace seems to be behaving rather well now. It just waits. They have a much more historical view to being a totalitarian regime, courtesy of their eschatology, than we do. No, wait. Oh, there's a leader that would hurt us. We'll just wait. 4 years, it's nothing. We'll just start stockpiling. Getting ready, making plans. That's the Taliban. We're hearing from reliable sources that the Taliban demand people's phones, and if they find a downloaded Bible on your device, they will kill you. Whew. Be praying for our Christian brothers and sisters. And speaking of Apple phones, perhaps you heard that they are now going to go searching through your personal pictures because they are going to help police America and sex trafficking by discovering if you have any pictures that would implicate you in being a part of the sex traffic system in this country, or that you are a child pornographer. So they're going to go into your phones. This is the world that we're living in right now. Okay, you hear that story and you go, what in the world? Okay, I know what you're trying to do. I mean, that's a good thing, but going through people's phones, looking at their stuff, that doesn't seem like a correct application of legal search and seizure. Just the same, Bill Maher was even railing against it. That's right. Mr. Politically Correct Bill Maher was railing against Apple for searching phones. What kind of a world are we living in when Apple does this and Bill Maher says that? Methinks it's a world that's getting absolutely increasingly bonkers, and we Christians are going to increasingly have to consider how are we going to respond to this world. And that is why, and I know there are disagreements, I get that. I wouldn't, anybody who disagrees with me on my understanding of Romans 13, this is not an orthodoxy issue. We should have Barney theology toward one another. I love you, you love me. We're not in perfect harmony on the issue of submission, but we certainly are not out of fellowship. So let's keep talking about it. Let's keep working through it. Let's figure out these verses. Are there exceptions to the rule in Romans 13? Or are we perhaps abusing the analogy of Scripture to arrive at the exception clause? And as we do, might we do so lovingly, because I suspect if you and I were put in shackles and bound together in a prison for being Christians, I'd like to think we'd be singing hymns and not fighting over secondary issues. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. It should come as no surprise, but the Biden administration is considering partially repealing a rule which was put in place to protect Christian student groups at universities. The U.S. Department of Education posted a blog last week written by Acting Assistant Secretary for the Office of Post-Secondary Education, who announced a review of the free inquiry rule. The rule came partly in response to legal battles centered on Christian student groups facing punishment from public universities for not allowing non-Christians to have leadership roles in their Christian organizations. In November 2020, the Trump administration passed the final rule, which centered on protecting the rights of religious student groups at colleges and universities. Acting Secretary Cooper wrote in her blog that compliance with non-discrimination requirements must be in a manner consistent with the First Amendment, which I would tend to disagree with. I do agree with the First Amendment. I do not agree with these blanket non-discrimination policies, a Christian organization not allowing a non-Christian to have a leadership role in their Christian organization is the very discrimination that should be allowed. Otherwise, in the name of non-discrimination, they're discriminating against Christians. But that's obviously not anything new. And the British police have made headlines, not with anything intelligent. As a matter of fact, it would be quite the opposite. They're making headlines because they're replacing patrol cars with what they're calling hate crime cars, and they're encouraging residents to report incidents such as social media comments that might hurt their feelings. These are rainbow-colored cars that look exactly like clown cars. While there are rapists and murderers and traffickers and thieves roaming the streets, but they have the local clown patrol out searching for anyone that might hurt your feelings. Well, the training module for incoming United States Air Force cadets was posted online, and the video is being described as required training. The training module allows users to select several options to mediate an awkward, racially charged interaction. And my explanation can't do this justice. You just have to listen for yourself.
Of course, all houses do matter, and we're not saying that they don't. But right now, we're focused on this one particular house because there's a fire.
And that's the kind of thing that has the enemies of our country terrified of us. Demi Lovato, who says she identifies as non-binary, said maybe one day she might identify as trans. And that statement has LGBTQ activists mad at her. The comment that got her in trouble was, quote, "I definitely think it's a forever journey. There might be a time where I identify as trans. I don't know what that looks like for me. There might be a time where I identify as non-binary and gender non-conforming." Yeah, well, she took some heat all over social media, as some have called her comments offensive, saying you can't pick and choose like you're shopping for groceries. But is that not the very thing that we're hearing from a lot of people, especially those who are gender fluid? I have no idea. This stuff is really hard to keep up with. It's like you need a doctorate in insanity to even begin to remotely understand anything anybody says about gender these days. I'll stick to the Bible. Not only does it make the most sense, but it's truth. More Wretched Radio, straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. First and Second Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls his people to repentance through his prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's talk about you and your... This is Wretched Radio.
Get out of my life.
Wow. We're like a Sunday morning church service at a mega church. Morning church. How's everybody feeling? How's the left side feeling? How's the right side feeling? How's about up in the balcony? Let's hear it from y'all. Oh, I'm sorry. This isn't church, so we'll act maturely. Let's talk about you and your feelings. And might I encourage this not to be snarky, although it is a gift, not to be snarky, but to make this an exclamation point. Could we talk about your feelings regarding this particular issue for the last time? And what I mean by that is not that I'm exasperated, but I suspect you're exhausted and that you can put a stake in the ground today and be done with the emotional debate as to whether or not you are a genuine convert. This last 2 weeks, I think we maybe brought this up, Jimmy, a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know if that opened the floodgates. I mean, this is a really consistent email that I'll receive. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I am genuinely a Christian. And this then, when we started this conversation a few weeks ago, it's just now, it's just many every day. So I know this is a big issue for a lot of people. And I know that God doesn't want you to have doubt. He doesn't want you to have a lack of assurance. He wants you growing in that assurance. And we can have that assurance if we understand our feelings. To say they're insignificant is not correct. But to say that they should determine whether or not you feel like you're saved, what does that have to do with reality and truth? Any more than a criminal who has perhaps been found guilty, sitting on death row, and receives a pardon. They open up the gate for him, and he says, I just don't know that I feel pardoned. I just thought I should have some sort of emotion about this. Are you sure the governor really signed? I mean, really? Because I'll tell you, I've done some bad things. You would think, there's a disconnect here that can be sorted out progressively, but the reality is truth states you're pardoned. The same thing that's true for the fellow on death row is true for you and me. If you have repented and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, now I grant you that would be a big caveat. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you are his. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it at any particular moment. Now, one of the emails that I received said, okay, I get that, but my feelings are so dull. Okay, that could be. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're not saved. It means your current feelings are dull and you need to figure out a way to get that feeling again without Barry Manilow. Please. You need to strive to do the things that we are commanded to do, to feel joy, to feel gratitude, to feel assured. Battle for that. But don't think that you're out of the race because you don't presently have that. That is not the way feelings work. Our feelings get wonky all the time. Don't we know that? In every realm, in every regard. And so the same thing, we should expect the same thing when it comes to our salvation, that feelings can be misleading. And speaking of feelings, to demonstrate how broad the emotional issues are of Christians, we are doing a brand new TV show called Transformed. It is to highlight biblical counseling. I can't wait for you to see it. In fact, I can't wait to see you. If you are an individual near Atlanta who struggles with some sort of an issue, I don't care what it is, visit wretched.org/casting, wretched.org/casting, and see if you would like to be a part of our TV show as a featured person on it to reveal what it is you're struggling with, to hear biblical application to your situation, and help others in the process. You can do that at wretched.org/casting, wretched.org/casting. For instance, here's an issue that we're going to be dealing with, believe it or not, on biblical counseling. And this is another email that I receive regularly. OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, or a variant, to use the DSM-5 lingo. This is when somebody just gets a repetitive thought, an obsessive thought in their brain, and they can't get it out. Now, they maybe don't do the physical activities with them, you know, checking the light switch 50 times, but they're thinking it, or they get a thought in their brain, and sometimes it's even a blasphemous thought, and it just rolls around, and it just, I can't kick it out of my brain. There's a way to kick it out of your brain. Biblical counseling will show you how to do that. And by the way, if you want to get started on that, simply visit biblicalcounseling.com or Google biblical counseling, not Christian counseling, biblical counseling, OCD, and you'll start to find all kinds of biblical truth that you can apply to the lies that are running around in your brain that you can't seem to get a hold of. It appears we're going to have another guest who has a fear. Phobias are, they're real. I've seen them in people. These are people who are perfectly normal as we human beings can be, and they experience something that causes them to have a panic attack or to just plain freak out. It's a fear of fill in the blank, spiders, outdoors, heights, gondola rides, whatever it is. It causes them just to do a physical shutdown. Is there any hope for that? Yeah, there is absolutely hope for that. And that can be worked through. Is it easy? No, it takes some real mental labor to get there. But replacing lies with truth, that's what biblical counseling is all about. And so that applies, too, to the issue of assurance. Why might you be battling this? Here's one reason. Sin. You've got a sin going on in your life, and you are not having victory over it the way that you think you should. Now, I noted that pretty specifically. I didn't just say that you are not ever having success or that you're only having 50% success. It's not the success you want. And if you believe, therefore, I'm not saved, you may be coming to the wrong conclusion. Why? Yes, 1 John 3:8-9 says, if you keep on sinning, you're of the devil. And you're thinking, but I keep on sinning. Wait a second. The present tense of sinning in 1 John 3 is an ongoing, willful, I don't care if I am committing a crime against God. That's the mind of the unbeliever. But you have repented and trusted. Remember, that's the criteria for being able to claim Christian faith. You did that. And you're not winning, but you're battling. That's the key. And you can actually expect, therefore, one of the fruits when you lose against perhaps your besetting sin is going to rock you. And I think that's something that you need to keep in mind so that when it does happen, should it happen again, rather than falling into a pit of despair, you repent of your sin, you thank God for his mercy, and you thank God for saving you from how awful you are. And that will give you joy that he would save a wretch like us. That would be the process to walk through and to think through before it happens, because there's a pretty good chance it's going to happen again. And this is not giving license to licentiousness. This is not to say, no big deal when it comes to sin, just you're forgiven. No, that's the hyper grace. that's going around these days. And it's been contagious, by the way. And this one's actually been contagious. This one is really infecting the church, a hyper grace movement. Don't worry about it. Don't think works are quit. There's a phrase that's getting coined these days. Do you want to escape a works-based Christianity? Well, yeah, rightly understood, but didn't James tell us that faith without works is dead? Don't be deceived by a hyper-gracism that tells you sin is no big deal. It is a big deal, but it's not necessarily a disqualifier. If you've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ and you're at war with your sin, let your sin grieve you, but only temporarily. And do not let your sin tell you you're disqualified from the kingdom. Because if that were true, then you are more powerful than Jesus, who promises, if you come unto me, I will not cast him out. He gives eternal life, not contingent life. He holds you in his hand. Nothing can snatch you out of it, including your besetting sin. But there are more reasons you might be lacking assurance next on Wretched Radio. Be careful. Be very, very careful, my cold-hearted conservative friend, because this just might melt your heart. If you are a supporter of preborn.org/wretched, providing ultrasounds, ultrasound machines, and sonograms, careful, this might just melt your heart.
That sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
You're giving love when you support Preborn, because a mommy sees a baby in the womb courtesy of an ultrasound machine and 80% of the time keeps the baby. $28 an ultrasound, or perhaps you might be of the means to provide an actual ultrasound machine if you can. Oh, they need them, and they'll put them to work, and it'll show some love. Preborn.org/wretched.
What is a worldview? Simply put, it's how people view the world. Not physically, though, but rather a comprehensive viewpoint on everything that exists and matters. And these days, most evangelicals have adopted a dualistic worldview, which means that they place Christianity in the realm of faith, while logic, reason, science, and even morality are fixed in the realm of reality. And the results have been pretty evident. Christians who are operating without a proper Christian worldview. In our newest resource, Wretched Worldview, seeks to change all that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand gather to tackle 22 tough contemporary issues through a biblical lens that puts our Christian worldview into clear focus. Not to tell you what to think, but how to think these issues through. Wretched Worldview also comes with a study guide, which is perfect for any Bible study or Sunday school class. Order your copy today at wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What's the most annoying thing that people do today? It's the very thing I'm going to do. This is Wretched Radio. Just got a text. Don't you love it when people do? No, I don't need to read your text. Please don't show me the video. You don't need to Google the size of ostrich eggs. I don't care that much. Just stay plugged in, please. Nevertheless, just a reminder of how good it is to be in the communion of saints. Do you remember an open air preacher named Josh Williamson? Years ago, I'm talking 14 years ago, he was here in Atlanta, originally from New Zealand. Oops, that would be like blasphemy to both countries. He's from Australia. And he is an open air preacher. He has a George Whitfield like voice. It just booms and thunders. And to give you an idea of how brilliant this guy is, he was at UGA, the University of Georgia, down in Athens. I guess it's over in Athens from where we are at any rate. The football game is going on outside of Stanford Stadium. He sets up his soapbox, stands on it, and begins open air preaching by saying, "Men of Athens! I see you're a religious people." And he used the football game as their idol. Oh, that's good preaching. And then we went to a little park. I think I could be wrong. I think it's called Piedmont Park in downtown Atlanta. There's a waterfall. There's a park. And they've got chess tables set up where people can pass by, sit down and play a game of chess on one of the tables. I don't know how often they get stolen, but there they are. We decided to set up shop. Josh jumps up onto a big curb. And that was like a retaining wall. And as the people are playing chess, if you saw this, you'll remember this. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Josh Williamson. I'm from Australia. I'm a Christian pastor, and I'm here today to preach to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so there it is. I'm not hoodwinking you. I'm telling you what I'm all about. That's unusual. Then he said, "I come from Australia, where statistically," and I'm making this up now, it's been too many years, "where statistically it is believed by 30% of all women, they are being pursued by a stalker." And I think the number might have been higher. So, but let's stick with 30%. 30% of women, when polled, said, "There's a creeper who's stalking me." And so in coming to America, I decided to look up the stalking statistic for your country. And to my surprise, I can't recall if it was higher or lower. It doesn't matter. But the number was frighteningly high. So let's just say it was 33% of all women in America believe that there is a stalker. But I disagree with that statistic. And I disagree with the statistic in Australia, because I believe the statistic of stalkers is 100%. Everybody here has a stalker. You, sir, playing chess, you have a stalker. Mr. Police Officer, who is stopping to consider arresting me for opening up my mouth about these things, you have a stalker, sir. Madam, you have a stalker. We all have a stalker. Needless to say, people are on the edge of their seats. Would you like to know who your stalker is? Death. Death is stalking you, even as you hear my voice. Death is hunting you down, and he never loses sight of you. You are always in his scope. Your stalker is death. Why? Because the Bible teaches the wages of sin is death. Are you a sinner? Opens up the law, gloriously preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, loudly, authoritatively, and lovingly. It lasted about 15 minutes. He sits down on the very same stoop that he was standing on next to me. And as we're chatting, a grown man came up, trembling. What did you say? What do I have to do to be made right with God? Please tell me. I've got to know. And when we were done talking to that fellow, there was another fellow standing there with tears running down his cheeks asking the same question. Oh, the power of open air preaching. And I just received a text from this dear brother who's now pastoring in England, stating just this is what it's like to be in the Christian family. Praying for you today, mate. Hey, brother, I just wanted to send a short message to say we're praying for you. Be encouraged, mate. Keep up the good work, Josh. Courtesy of being a Christian, which is perhaps something you struggle with. So let's just start here. Have you known that death is your stalker? Have you known why you are going to die? Have you grasped the incredible, atrocious, obnoxious odor that your sin has produced in the nostrils of God? And have you realized you deserve his just and temporal punishment? And have you turned from your sins, not in perfection, but with a new attitude that says, I don't want it anymore. I want my Savior. And you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Got to be honest. That could be a reason why you're lacking assurance. Now, don't get scrupulous on this and start to go, but I don't think I did it enough. If you've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you did it enough. It's never going to be perfect. Are you in Christ? Have you turned from your sins to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, you are his, and you do not need to continue doubting it anymore. And that you can grow in knowledge and wisdom and works and less sinning that will increase your assurance. But there are some reasons why some Christians struggle. One of them, their reasons, is sin in their lives. Another reason would be just an understanding of soteriology. I think I'm going to go with an S alliteration here, Jimmy. I think I got one.
Okay.
So it could be sin. It could be your soteriology. It could be your salvation isn't secured, but we've already tackled that. So your soteriology could be deficient in that you think you need to maintain your status with God. You can't do that. You couldn't get it. You can't keep it. Give up on it. And that very surrendering of my thinking that I'm clinging to him when the reality is he's clinging to me, that's the very thing that should cause you to love him more. If you could lose it, you would. If you could somehow get out of his hand, you'd jump. But you can't, because he's got you. So maybe your soteriology is not sufficient. Maybe it's sovereignty that is lacking in your life. Told it, Jimmy, I got four S's now.
I'm impressed.
I could be kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention. No, they don't do that. Sorry, never mind. For four S's instead of three. Could it be that you are not believing that God is powerful enough, strong enough, mindful enough of you, that you are in Christ and you can't go anywhere? And that he offers you all the joy that you can imagine in knowing that to be true. And that he offers you all of the shalom that you could ever want when you trust that he is sovereign and that he has saved you and that he keeps you and that you are going nowhere. Would you please, I'm encouraging you today to be done with this issue. Not to just throw in the towel and give it up. No, resolve it, settle it. Because your Christian walk is almost certainly being hampered. And even if it's not, let's say you're doing plenty of full-time service for the Lord, but you're just lacking assurance and joy, you're just missing out on what the kingdom of God is. Remember that it is about joy. Remember Jesus' rather challenging words to the Pharisees. John the Baptist was all austere. You didn't like him. I come eating and drinking, and you don't like me. Okay, Jesus came eating and drinking. That didn't mean that he came to party. He came to seek and save sinners, but he is a joyful Savior. He was a delight to be around. He enjoyed sitting at a meal and partaking of it with sinners. And he wants you to have joy. How might you put an end to it? Consider one of those four roots that I just shared as possibilities for the fruit of a lack of assurance in your life and wrestle with it today. And go read all the Bible verses that pertain to each one of those subjects. For instance, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Memorize it. If sin is your struggle, memorize it. And then when you fall down again, repeat it to yourself until you're actually believing it. Not sure you're saved? Then make sure. Make your calling and election sure. Take a look at your understanding of salvation, your soteriology, understanding the sovereignty of God. Go to your Bible and dive in and let the voice of God's word thunder over the murmuring, nattering, deceiving voice of your feelings. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.